Senate will please come to order. Messages from the House.
February the 25th, 2008, from the House of Representatives. Messages, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 53, Garnishees Administrative Fees. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. House Bill number 77, Tuition Dependents of Disabled Firefighters and EMTs, 2. Ayes 53, noes 4, excused 2. House Bill number 82, Trauma Care Services. Ayes 51, noes 6, excused 2, conflict 1. House Bill number 88, Omnibus Water Bill Planning. Ayes 57, excused 1, conflict 1. House Bill number 113, School Finance, Minimum Teacher Resources. Ayes 53, noes 5, excused 2. House Bill number 132, Surveyors and Engineers. Ayes 57, noes 7, excused 2. House Bill number 133, Taxation of Helium. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. House Bill number 134, School Districts Immunity and Liability Insurance. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Bill number 143, Memorial Hospital Districts, Use of Levy. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Joint Resolution number 6, Statewide Satellite Carriage of Wyoming PBS. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Joint Resolution number 10, Radio Stations. Ayes 58, excused 2. February the 25th, 2008, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 52, Developmental Programs Cost-Based Reimbursements. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. House Bill number 98, Speech Pathologist Licensing. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Bill number 102, Quality Child Care. Ayes 54, noes 2, excused 2. Ayes 54, noes 4, excused 2. House Bill number 141, Forcible Entry and Detainer Amendments. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. House Bill number 160, Cooperative Electric Utilities Rate Regulation 2. Ayes 55, noes 3, excused 2. House Bill number 173, Aggravated Assault and Battery Penalties. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Bill number 10, State Parks and Historic Sites Fee. Ayes 32, noes 26, excused 2. House Bill number 11, Wyoming Homemade Products. Ayes 51, noes 7, excused 2. House Bill number 12, Veterans Mental Health Appropriations. Ayes 56, no, excused 3, conflict 1. House Bill number 137, Castle Doctrine. Ayes 54, noes 4, excused 2. House Bill number 145, Professional and Commercial Licenses, Lawful Residence. Ayes 40, noes 18, excused 2. House Bill number 151, Property Tax Relief Program Amendments. Ayes 57, excused 3. And House Bill Number 153, Economic Development Account 2. Ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills on first reading. Here they come. House Bill 133, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 133, Taxation of Helium, sponsored by Senator or House Representative Anderson, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2.
House Bill 133 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 77, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 77, Tuition Dependence of Disabled Firefighters and EMTs 2, sponsored by Representative White, an act relating to education. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 53, noes 4, excused 2, conflict 1.
House Bill 77 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 113, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 113, School Finance, Minimum Teacher Resources, sponsored by Representative McComey, an act relating to school finances. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 53, noes 5, excused 2.
House Bill 113 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 134, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 134, School Districts Immunity and Liability Insurance, sponsored by Representative Stoopson, an act relating to school districts. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 134 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 88, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 88, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, sponsored by the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 57, excused 2, conflict 1.
House Bill 88 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 143, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 143, Memorial Hospital District's Use of Levy, sponsored by Representative Alden, an act relating to Memorial Hospital Districts. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 143 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 53, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 53, Garnishees Administrative Fees, sponsored by Representative Dockstader, an act relating to garnishment of wages. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2.
House Bill 53 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Joint Resolution 6, first reading of the Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 6, Statewide Satellite Carriage of Wyoming PBS, sponsored by Representative Illoway, a joint resolution requesting Congress to amend the Satellite Home Viewers Improvement Act. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Joint Resolution 6 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 132, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 132, Surveyors and Engineers, sponsored by Representative Jorgensen, an act relating to professions and occupations. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 51, noes 7, excused 2.
House Bill 132 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Joint Resolution 10, first reading of the Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 10, Radio Stations, sponsored by Representative Dirks, a joint resolution requesting Congress to support the Local Radio Freedom Act. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 2.
House Joint Resolution 10 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 82, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 82, Trauma Care Services, sponsored by Representative Lockhart, an act relating to medical care. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 51, noes 6, excused 2, conflict 1.
House Bill 82 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Consideration of bills on third reading and final passage. Wait a second. Let's do standing committee reports, if we got some of those. Let's do standing committee reports.
February the 25th, 2008, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 89, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 25th, 2008, Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 38, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Allman, Fecht, Hastert, Landon, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 25th, 2008, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 30, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 25th, 2008, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 17, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Anderson, Coe, Jennings, Massey, Von Flatern, Senator Coe, Chairman. February the 25th, 2008, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 36, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, Coe, Jennings, Massey, Von Flatern, Senator Coe, Chairman.
Bills on third reading. Senate File 47, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 47, Wyoming State Training School Amendment, sponsored by the Select Developmental Programs Committee, an act relating to state institutions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have an amendment, the case amendment, which is third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 47, third reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 17.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47. Hey, you guys, I haven't given up, but this is not the fight today. This is a consensus agreement on the name, and you'll notice my co-sponsor that's on the amendment, very tall, historical senator from Albany County. And I've got other fights to fight, and I'll take them up down the hall. And I am supporting this bill, and I support this amendment, but the new name for the Wyoming State Training School will be the Wyoming Life Resource Center.
Further discussion on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Chairs in doubt. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47, please stand. Opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47 has passed the Senate. We are back on the bill. Senate File 47, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Becht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Excused.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 5 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 47, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 47 has passed the Senate. Senate File 70, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 70, School Finance Amendments, sponsored by the Education Committee, an act relating to school finances. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have 2 amendments. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70, the case amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 70, third reading amendment number 1, page 42 after line 22.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70. And with this amendment, the new name for all the schools in the state will be...
Case.
Sorry, Mr. President. Mr. President, this goes into some work that the Standing Committee did. And there's a date in there that has to do with the issue about groundskeepers. And groundskeepers is related to how much land you have in a school district. There's one school district in my Senate district that acquired Jeffrey City School when that consolidation occurred. That was the last consolidation in Fremont County, Mr. President. Maybe that's the last one there'll ever be. But they took over Jeffrey City School District on July 1, 1997, which is the date in the bill. So if they would have taken it over 24 hours earlier, they would qualify for the groundskeeper's payment. But they didn't take it over until... So the bill just arbitrarily got this cut off that cut them out of it. So this goes in and after the word acquired, inserts on or prior to July 1, 1997. And I don't think anybody meant to get this one particular school district. They just happened to pick a date that actually hit when Jeffrey City came in. Jeffrey City at one time had a high school and a big district, built a new building out there that we still take care of. There's still a school at Jeffrey City, and they still require all the maintenance and everything for 2 school buildings, the old one and the new one. So I've talked this over with other folks that may wish to speak about it, but this has to do with a date that's in the bill.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I view this as a friendly amendment. I urge you that you support the amendment.
Further discussion, question being called for. The question is on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70 does pass the Senate. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70, the co-amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 70, third reading amendment number 2,
Senator 38, line 2. Senator
Coe. Mr. President, I move for adoption of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70. This is more of a conforming amendment that was brought to me by the staff. It goes into the food service section, and you might remember that we're funding an additional $4.5 million to deal with food service deficits. Goes in on page 38, line 2, so it says to qualify for financial assistance, the school district shall, and the amendment goes in there, report a funding deficit under paragraph C, 2 little I, of this section for the school year prior to the year of application, and shall. It's just conforming language that goes in there to better make everything work well as it relates to districts being able to obtain assistance for food service. Urge that you support the amendment.
Further discussion. The question is, on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70 has passed. We are back on the bill. Senate File 70, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Job,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas excused,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Senate File 70, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 70 does pass the Senate. Senate File 77, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 77, Severance Tax Distribution, sponsored by Senator Hines, an act relating to taxation and revenue, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against Senate File 77, the good chairman of Appropriations had asked that this bill be removed from the consent list for further consideration. And he asked me to point out a few things about this bill. As you recall, in general file, I got up and spoke about being careful about earmarking again. For those of us that were around when we went through the de-earmarking, that was a very painful situation, and that's exactly what we're doing here in this bill. We're going back and earmarking. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, the bill has now been fixed with the amendment, and it doesn't go into effect for another 2 years. But if that had gone into an effect at this point in time, we would probably be looking for about $38 million, probably from cities, towns, and counties, to continue to fund this thing. And the same would be true, and we're just delaying the inevitable in 2 years from now when we do this. We're going to be looking for what you're setting a priority now for what we're doing with our funds. And I just would point out to you that, for instance, at this point in time, The highway fund right now for the 2007-2008 received about $15 million directly from severance taxes. In 2009 through 2010, they're scheduled to receive about $13.4 million directly. If you go and look at their severance taxes for 2008 and 2009, both of those years, $62 million they're going to get directly. That's $124 million. I guess you have to decide if this is a good policy. I mean, we all want to make sure that our roads are up to snuff and are doing well and that we fund them, and we have funded them. We've got $200 million in this budget. The only real reason that I've heard for doing this is planning. And that's not an invalid reason. It's a good reason, but I just urge you some caution here with regards to this bill, because we're going to earmark, we're going to set our priorities, and this is going to be the number one priority, but yet we have no idea what's going to happen in 2 years. So I'd urge your careful consideration of this bill.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the good senator from Laramie also asked me to, put in perspective about that $38 million that the good senator from Cheyenne talked about. It isn't equal. It's about $19.5 million in the first year and then bounces up to $56.5 million in the second year. That's in 2010. So if you extrapolate that out a little bit, looking at the increase in our severance tax, there's a good assumption that we'll probably add about $150 million thereabouts to highways in the next biennium after this one. And those are dollars that will compete, and it is earmarking. And I think basically we just have to decide whether or not this is a place where we want to put that money. The other thing that we can do, I suppose, in the budget is say, notwithstanding this statute, we're going to put the money over here, which could cause a bit of a row, but we are making some priorities, and it probably will take somewhere between $100 to $150 million away out of our next budget the next time we come down here and direct it toward highways.
Senator Bevan.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I'm one that always had problem with earmarking, but I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I asked you to support this bill. And the testimony I heard relative to highways was that, and I understand this too, and I think most of you in this body do, that maintenance is a critical thing and the way we do things in terms of reproducing and fixing our highways. If you don't do things now, you pay more in the long run. And I, for one, was not in favor of a fuel tax increase. If it didn't get here, I would have voted no. But this is a way to ensure some funding for our highways. I think that's very important that we do that. I wish we had something in here for city or for counties for their farm-to-market roads. I think that's a very important part, but I don't have an amendment to do that. But I think the senator from Laramie County and from Goshen County are exactly right. This is prioritization. I think we ought to put a priority on our highways, and severance tax is a good way to do it, so I would ask you support the bill.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I rise in support of the bill. We all understand earmarking, and we do it all the time. We've had a very successful program on many different phases. I can point out the Hathaway funds that we earmarked for. Right now we have, I think I just counted, 23 bills that have more funding. And so it's all a matter of a priority, what we'll need in the future. We currently have been averaging, I think the figures I found was 17 to 20% of our funds. We call this type 2 funds. And the reason why I think it's important that we earmark this for a few years for the highway fund is that I feel like it's our responsibility to see that our agencies are well funded to do the things that are necessary. We all know construction costs are increasing very rapidly. And when you look at the highway fund, the highway department, they have very limited or maybe no avenue that they can go out and raise funds on their own. The needs, I don't know if there's anything that affects more people in Wyoming than our highways. We all virtually use them. They deliver all of our, the majority of our products that the average person use. You know, anymore it's getting, if you don't have a train load, you have to use the railroad to bring, I mean, the highways to bring produce in. The commerce, our tourism, our trucking, our school busing, all these things are very necessary, and we want them safe and continue well. This is a bill that provides earmarking for a few years. I think it's 8 years. Then, and of course, any time between now and then, it can be changed. But I think we need to give the highway fund and then the contractors that they depend on some stability, so they will be available, the contractors will be there when we have the money to build the funds. So I think at this time, you know, we've been doing it now with this budget, will be 5 years, and I think we should just set it as a priority and move forward and keep our highways in good shape.
Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did vote for this bill in committee, but now I'm reconsidering a little bit. And part of that reason is we've extended this, and we have this for two highway planning cycles, which takes us to the year 2018. And at that point, I think we're being somewhat disingenuous to the planning for the highways. I can understand one cycle, because if we did this for one cycle, we could probably hold this together. We know that we can make maybe 6 years and take some cuts on the front. But if you tell everyone that we're going to give you 12 years as your planning cycle and we're going to guarantee it and that's what you start planning for, we cannot guarantee that. We are so far beyond what we think is going to happen in this budget. We know it'll continue to grow. We know we're still building schools. We know we still have highways. But we don't know by the year 2018 what this will look like. Granted, the next legislature can come in and change it. But that's where I think the problem lies, is that we're trying to tell everybody that for the next 12 years, till 2018, we will promise you this money. So beginning 6 years from now, they're assuming that they'll have this money, and that's, I don't think that's true. So I think this bill would have been a better bill had we kept it to one cycle, which is for the next 6 years, we can guarantee you, or we'll try to guarantee you, that we'll get money into the system. But to go all the way to the year 2018 is probably promising more than we'll be able to keep.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. With respect to this bill, I think it's really important. It's, no one here is against good highways. No one here is against roads, and that's not really what this bill is about. This bill is about simply a policy decision about where you're going to dedicate and whether you're going to earmark those funds. And I agree with the good senator from Cheyenne. When you look at that and as you look out into the future, what does that mean? It was only 2 years ago that our CREG estimates for gas, natural gas prices, were $7. I think in the latest CREG estimate, those estimates are $3.50, and that's just 2 years, 2 years difference. And there will be a competition for that very thing. I sat through a presentation a year ago with the Department of Transportation, and they listed, very interestingly, all the money that this body had allocated to cities, towns, and counties over the last few years. And the implication was that cities, towns, and counties had gotten more than they deserved, and you should give that money to the Department of Transportation. And they're free to make that argument. That's a policy decision. But ultimately, I think it's up to this body to determine when and how and where those types of general fund monies go and to whom. And to extend this on out to 2018, I think in some respects is an abrogation of the legislative oversight that this body should have, particularly in those types of agencies where there is so little accountability back to the legislature. They do a good job and they're independent, but ultimately when it's there, it's there. With respect to the other, everybody has to do those things. You have the cities, towns, and counties. Everybody can make the same argument that if they know that they have a steady stream of income, that they can plan and be more effective. And that's a true statement. It's just as true for any. It's just as true for the Department of Health as it is for cities, towns, and counties as the Department of Transportation. And I would submit to you that maybe it's important for us to look at this every 2 years and decide where that money ought to go.
Senator Von Fleiden.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, there's really no guarantees in any of our funding. K-12 probably has the best setup. So the good lady from Cheyenne is quite correct that we are telling somebody that if they should believe that until 2018 you have this much money, it's all dependent on how much severance tax we get. And I can tell you the Department of Transportation, along with about every other agency in this government, understands the ebbs and flows of funding. So I cannot imagine that they're going to bet the whole house and the farm on having this amount of money till 2018. I will tell you this is a good beginning. You know, what I think of from a lot of the arguments we had, prioritizing and why not cities and towns versus roads versus the health department, all good arguments. One of the things that we're mandated, you know, the government should take care of is our state highways, K-12 education, state highways. Cities and towns and counties have actually an additional funding has been a recent event. They do get their share of sales tax and whatever funding that brings to them. And to use the argument about the spread of severance tax, federal mineral royalties, as it flows to the Department of Transportation and saying they do get their share, they certainly do. But so does the university, so does towns, cities. There's a road program within the Department of Transportation, which also the counties and cities take part of. So it is a priority on our part. It is something we spend an awful lot of time, as I am probably wasting a little bit of time right now on the same subject every year. And they do need that extra time to plan. And all we're really saying is here's a good attempt. You have no other way of funding outside of your fuel taxes and your small fees that you charge for driver's license, registering vehicles, and a small amount they get out of that. So here is some money. We're going to try to keep this flowing to you. Yes, we can change our mind. Yes, severance tax can go down. But the reality is, unless you want to raise the fuel tax, which I have a feeling I'm probably one of the lone wolves in this group that will vote for that, especially this year, this is the way to do it. This is the way to put some kind of guarantee up there. And I ask for your favorable vote on this bill. Let's move it on. 2018, I'm sure somebody else can figure out how to maybe amend that date. So please vote affirmatively on this bill, and let's move it forward.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's already been said, you know, this is really one of those pay me now or pay me more later issues, and I think that we continue to I think we all realize in here that the longer we wait with this issue, the further behind we get. And we've learned from schools and school CapCon the longer that we wait and the more we let ourselves get behind, the greater effort it takes to catch up. And as we look at these gradually escalating costs and we find ourselves expending below that line in order to catch up, we've got to go further and further above the line to catch up, and it's going to take us longer in time to get there. So with that in consideration, it is. It's a judgment in policy in regard to how long we're willing to continue to allow this cost, and we've heard some discussion on the floor, and I won't go over that, in regard to the cost of money that might be invested in this way and the return on money that might be invested in another way, and there's a big disparity. And so I think the longer we put it off, the more we're going to have to face in the future. And I would hope that we would, in fact, opt to pay a little more now and perhaps save ourselves a great amount later. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I reluctantly urge you to reject this bill. Make no mistake about it. We're entering the era of earmarking again. It isn't going to save us money. This is in the future. We can still put money in. There's not one thing that says we can't put this money in. But for those of us that have been here long enough to remember the painful example of de-earmarking and that all we had to try to go through when we were faced with, I think it was a $86 million deficit, trying to find a place to cut, there wasn't any. That's what led to de-earmarking. Nobody supports highways any more than I do. As you know, I served on the Department of Transportation Commission. I support roads. I support funding them to the extent that we can.
But to move that far into the future with earmarking, I can assure you they said, well, we can take it off at any time. I've not been through anything more painful in this legislature in that period of time than trying to de-earmark. Don't go there. We don't know what revenues we're going to have in that far ahead. We can put the money in. It isn't a matter of costing us more now or then. This is in the future anyway. So don't get back into the earmarking process to where this legislature has no control over a lot of its budget. That was painful. I sure hope we don't start going there again. I can guarantee you the next request will be and has been every year back to the earmarking, if you would, for all of the cities, towns, and counties. And we're back. And at one time when all this stuff started, we really had control over less than 80% of our expenditures. So I support highways. I know they have to do planning. I know they have to go forward. But let's not start earmarking again to where we don't have control over the way the money is spent.
Further discussion? Senate File 77, having been read three... Senator Hines. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I'll just remind everybody very briefly that as we spend, we're earmarking all the time. As you look through the list here, we have increases for judges, increases for our own per diem, increases for salaries of officials. None of those will we ever back off of. And so we're earmarking future money. So it's just a matter of what priorities are. Thank you.
Senate File 77, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
Fecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job, Johnson,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
no.
Massey,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
no.
Nicholas excused, Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 15 ayes, 14 noes, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 77 is indefinitely postponed. Senator Massey.
Mr. President, having voted on the prevailing side of the previous question, I ask for immediate reconsideration and ask the floor to vote no.
The motion is to ask for a vote for immediate reconsideration, and the proponent has asked the Senate to vote no. It's a non-debatable issue. I'll ask the Chief Clerk to please call the roll.
Anderson, Allman, Bebout,
no.
Burns,
no.
Case,
no.
Coe,
no.
Cooper,
aye.
DeCaria,
no.
Fecht,
no.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
no.
Hines, no. Jennings,
no.
Job, Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
No.
Nicholas excused. Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
No.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
No.
Townsend.
No.
Basie.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Schiffer.
No.
Closing vote.
Hastert,
no to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 10 ayes, 19 noes, 1 excused.
Having failed in the motion to reconsider, Senate File 77 is indefinitely postponed. Thanks, Andy. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business at the consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
The motion is for the Senate to resolve itself into Committee of the Whole. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senator Mockler.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 5. The reading clerk will please read the file bill.
House Bill Number 5, Fuel Tax Distribution, sponsored by the Travel Committee, an act relating to gasoline tax distribution. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Ullman, Burns, Cole, Massey, and Mockler. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Report, do so with favorable recommendation for House Bill 5, Fuel Tax Distributions. And to further explain the bill, I would ask that you call on the Chairman of the Education Committee.
Senator Coe.
Chairman, thank you. House Bill 5 goes in and repeals the sunset date for the gasoline tax on motorboats. And I'm really dating myself here because the original bill was passed in 1991, and I was chair of the committee and carried the bill that did that. It also goes in and extends the sunset date to 2013 for off-road recreational vehicles. This is not a new tax. Boaters are not going to be charged an additional fee. What the gas tax has done is currently paying for projects. We have about, in 2006, at 26,296 boats registered. We came in and find out where that was, where we extended that to non-resident. I think it was in 2006. We added 5,000 non-resident motorboats. Actually, it raises about $1 million in the biennium. It goes in to fund new boat ramps, fish cleaning stations, restrooms, water-related improvements. Just a little history on how it started. It started in July 1st, 1991, like I said. We had a sunset provision on it to July 1st, 1994. That was taken off and extended again to February 1st, 1997. And then the last sunset provision was put on June 30th, 2003 to June 30th, 2008. So if we don't take the sunset provision off of the boats, it'll go away. The motorboat gas tax works this way. The average use of a motorboat is about 125 gallons of gas a year, so when you multiply the 125 gallons of gas times 13 cents per gallon tax, equates to $16.25. With 31,270 boats out there, we divert about $508,137.50 a year out of the gas tax fund. Does exactly the same thing for off-road recreational vehicles. The good senator who recently passed away from Fremont County, sat up where the good senator is sitting now from Fremont County. This was one of his programs in 2003 on off-road recreational vehicles. This only goes in and extends that sunset provision to 2013. The numbers as they're put together are about $10.40. If you have 44,872 off-road recreational vehicles, it collects approximately $900,000 in the biennium. That's what the bill does, and I try to answer questions.
You've heard an explanation of the bill, Senator Vasey.
Madam Chairman, I apologize for my inattentiveness, but could you go through that bill, how many times it's been sunsetted since statehood?
Senator Coe.
Madam Chairman, a bunch. Actually, the first when we first passed the legislation, July 1st of 1991, we had a sunset provision to July 1st of 1994. Then we had a sunset provision that was put on February 21st to June 30th, 1997. And then from 1997 to 2003. And now the most recent sunset provision is June 30th, 2008. Overall, the over $5 million in projects have been collected since the origination of it. And I hope that answers your question. I think five times.
Is there any further discussion of the bill? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that House Bill 5 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 5 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 7. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill number 7, Real Estate Commission Authority.
Committee. Let me turn that on. House Bill 7. Real Estate Commission Authority, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to the Real Estate Commission. It was assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, that reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Case, Cooper, DeCarrier, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case? Okay. You didn't work very well.
I usually don't. Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the due pass recommendation on House Bill 7. Madam Chairman, it's a pretty simple little bill. It redefines the real estate statute to what they thought it was defined as. The Real Estate Commission came to your Interim Corporations Committee this earlier this interim, and they said, oh, lo and behold, we got a reading, and our statute is defined not to include all the actual statute for our for the Real Estate Commission. So what it says was, this act means WS 3328-101 through 3328-206. Well, lo and behold, you had to went clear out to 401. So there was a little bit of a mix-up in the courts, and the Attorney General's office thought it would be a good idea if we had their act include all the statutes pertaining to the Real Estate Commission. It really is non-controversial. No one testified against this bill. It seems to be just an oversight. And you might just ask, why didn't we correct this in a revisor's bill, since it had been the subject of an Attorney General's opinion that said we needed to redefine it? We didn't think that a revisor's bill was the right way to handle this. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You've heard the discussion, explanation of the bill. Is there any further questions? Seeing none, is there a question? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 7 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 21. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill number 21, Commercial Vehicle Fees, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to commercial vehicles. It was referred to Committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, reports with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Geis, Hastert, Johnson, Landon, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Senator Von Flatern.
Madam Chair, thank you. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it does so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 21, Commercial Vehicle Fees, and to explain this bill,
Senator Johnson.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would call this a user's fee increase. In 1994, we increased the commercial vehicle user's fees for single permit trips, and those fees have remained the same since. If you look on page 2 here, what we are increasing now is a single trip permit is $25, and an overweight permit, the fee goes from 4 cents to 6 cents for each ton or fractional thereof, and the no event shall the fee be less than $40. And if you look over on the fiscal note, they say it'll increase the highway fund in fiscal 2009, $3,500,000, then 2010, $3,800,000, 2011, $4,200,000. So it's a very simple bill, Madam Chairman. It increases the fees that have been there for 13 years.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a couple of questions. As to why we went from, why we picked 6 cents instead of 5 or 7. The second question is, how many actual revenues do we get now per year for our commercial vehicle fee increases? And the last question is, of course, I think the biggest impact on our highways, particularly I-80, is because of the out-of-state traffic. A lot of those would not be overweight. Did you have any discussion about the damage and impact they have on our highways?
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. I really don't know why we went from 4 cents to 6 cents. And were there two or three questions? Three, okay. Well, I'll go to how many revenues? I don't know. I'll have to ask YDOT and find out from them. As far as the vehicles that go across the state and are not overweight, it is the overweight vehicles that do the most damage, the most weight on the axles. And there's a big argument whether just a regular average truck does 1,000 times the damage of a car or up to 10,000 times as damage of a car. I personally don't believe either one of them, because a fairly large percentage of the trucks are running empty, and they're giving the damage level based on full axle weights. So, no, this just catches overweight trucks. That's all it does. If your truck isn't overweight, whether you're intrastate or interstate, there's no problem. And you can self-write a trip ticket for your trip.
There is a standing, a committee of the whole amendment. Senator Von, with the reading clerk, please read it in.
House Bill 21, Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Committee of the Whole, Number 1, the Senate, to House Bill 21, and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. And all this is a technical correction on page 1, line 2. It should say increase in the oversized commercial vehicle single permit and not in the overweight. Somehow we missed that in committee. And so it just X's out, crosses out overweight, insert oversized. Just technical correction to the bill, and ask for your favorable vote.
You've heard an explanation of the amendment. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion on the amendment, please say aye. All opposed, no. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Hearing none, all those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion that House Bill 21 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 21 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 59. The reading clerk will please read the House bill.
House Bill 59, TANF Amendment, sponsored by Representative Martin, and acts relating to the Personal Opportunities with Employment Responsibilities Program. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye. Senators Geis, Hastert, Johnson, Landon, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report. It does so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 59, TANF amendments, and to explain this fine bill is Senator Hastert.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I present to you House Bill 59, the TANF amendments. TANF, which is the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, are used to provide assistance to support needy families or needy parents. And then the POWER, which is the Personal Opportunities with Employment Responsibilities, is the State of Wyoming's name for the TANF Cash Assistance Program. Cash assistance is provided directly to a client when determined eligibility by the local DFS eligibility workers. Recipients are subject to work and participation grants, Madam Chairman. Grant levels have remained the same since 1996, but the cost of living has increased. Adjustments in amounts by the Wyoming cost of living cumulative inflation factor will allow households to keep up with basic needs while getting back on their feet, Madam Chairman. The adjustments in this bill was calculated by ANI and indicates a 48.9% cost of living increase from 1996 to 2007. And the bill itself, the changes in the bill are on page 2, line 8. This language eliminates the 10-month provision in the statute and will allow grandparents and aunts and uncles who are caring for their grandchildren's niece or nephews an opportunity to take care for additional nieces or nephews or grandchildren if the needs arise. The grant level itself has a family cap already in place. Then the next changes, Madam Chairman, are on page 2, line 15 through 25, and it just shows the cumulative inflation factors, and the right-hand column shows the power payments. And then, Madam Chairman, on page 3, line 6 through 10, this will allow ANI to adjust the maximum payment levels by the percentage of change in the Wyoming Cost of Living Index for the previous fiscal year, and that'll be starting in 2009. And then on page 3, lines 23 and 24, is cleanup language that removes the reference to the 1996 effective date. And finally, on page 4, lines 1 and 2, removes the dollar amount for the exclusion of the vehicles when determined eligibility for the POWER program, and then that also the deletion for a married couple with two vehicles. And, Madam Chairman, that's basically the bill, and we'll try and answer questions.
You've heard the explanation of the bill. Is there any further discussion, Senator Scott?
Madam Chairman, I have some reservations about this bill and some questions on it. This is welfare, straight cash grant welfare, our welfare program. We have succeeded, Madam Chairman, in reducing our welfare caseload by the last figures I heard were 94%. From its peak before the 1996 welfare reform, which we enacted about 8 months before the federal government did. A key to that welfare reform was that we aligned people's incentives so that people were money ahead to go to work, even at a minimum wage job, than they were staying on the welfare program. And some of that was where we put the eligibility for the Title 19 and some of the other benefits so you didn't automatically lose them when you went to work, and some of it was the level of the power payments involved. And when we did that, people said, oh, okay, we're money ahead to go to work, and they went to work. I'm a little concerned that this could undo that. I've heard some discussion with some of the interested parties in the lobby that, no, the increase isn't enough. The minimum wage has gone up. This shouldn't affect that. I will ask and do ask to actually see that analysis, and I want to know, was there any discussion of it in committee? The second item of concern I have is on page 3, lines 6 through 10, and I would ask the Appropriations Committee to pay careful attention to this one, because that is an automatic formula that will drive up these payments every year. At least that's the way I read it. And two concerns about that. First, what risk do we have of undoing our incentive to go to work in the process? And second, what kind of impact does this have with an automatic inflation formula on the general fund going forward? Now, Madam Chairman, right now we have very few of what would be considered traditional welfare on this program. Most of the program is what's called child-only cases, where the parents, for one reason or another, have disappeared. They're no longer in the scene. The child is frequently being raised by grandparents or other more distant relatives. And it makes some sense for the state to step in and make some payments. We got a better deal for the children. They're being raised by people who are relatives. They're not in our foster care system. There's some real advantages to that. At the same time, if we misalign the incentives, we'll get back the traditional welfare client that we used to have. Now, there's some limits on that. There's the 5-year time limit. There's some work requirements. There's some other things. But by avoiding just relying on those, Wyoming has had a lot more success with our welfare reform than any other state in these United States. We're the ones that have done the best. And I think that getting the traditional welfare clients off the rolls and out working is a major measure of success. We provide food stamps. We provide other supports so that people can make it. But there's a lot of dignity to be had in actually going to work, and I think we want to preserve that incentive. So, Madam Chairman, I'd like some discussion on those points.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't think that we are getting rid of that incentive whatsoever. All we're doing is taking the incentive that produced these great results from 4 or 5 or 6 years ago and just bringing it up to date with regard to inflation. In other words, if we were to pass this bill, the buying power of those maximum power payments is exactly the same as they were when we produced these great results 4 or 5 years ago. We're not creating any more of an incentive now than we had back here at that time. And as the previous speaker mentioned, there is a 5-year time limit. Many people believe that as much as work opportunities, accounted for the significant decrease in the amount of people in this program. And finally, there's this whole notion that we've talked about previously here during this session, and that is nutrition. People making the right choices on how to stay healthy before having to show up at a hospital or before having to show up at a doctor. And this particular population is just as key as any of the others. In fact, previous legislation has kind of focused on the low income. And if we don't provide them with a sufficient amount of money monthly in order to make the right nutritional decisions, they're going to make bad ones or continue to make bad ones, and we're going to wind up paying for it even more in the Medicaid program. So the incentive's still there as much as it was before. I think it just really comes down to a question of being fair.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you. And we did get some discussion out in the lobby this morning before we gaveled in, and I know that information that Senator Scott is looking for, I'm going to ask that I be able to provide that on second reading. They're putting it together right now, and I should have it later this afternoon or tomorrow morning to show the numbers and show exactly where that falls in. And I believe, as the senator from Albany County has mentioned, that, you know, this is just bringing up to date with the cost of living adjustments, and we certainly aren't providing actually any more of a benefit. And in committee, the testimony from the division was that these are all federal dollars and that they get approximately $18.5 million in federal dollars. And I asked specifically in the committee if this would put a strain on that amount that they're receiving. They said no, it would not. They do have about a $44 million reserve that they're able to use in this. There's very specific stipulations for that, but the testimony that we had was that this was not going to overextend the federal dollars that they're receiving for this now.
Senator Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You mentioned that there was a family cap, and then you mentioned that we're going to include grandparents and uncles and aunts and that kind of stuff. Will the family cap, say you have a grandparents that get stuck with two or three of the grandchildren families out there, does that family cap then just cap over the grandparents, or does it cap over each one of the families that are brought into the grandparent family?
Senator Meyer?
Madam Chair, I'm looking at page 2, lines 8 through 13, the deletion there. And when I recall this going in, this was to prohibit, additional assistance based on an increase in the number of persons in the assistant unit. Or I guess to put it bluntly, we weren't going to pay for people to stay home and have babies after 10 months. I think that's what that was. And then you took out the disqualification factor over on the back page on a licensed motor vehicle. Could you explain that a little bit? That was capped at 15 or value less than 15,000. Is there a cap or no cap on your motor vehicles now as far as the asset value?
Senator Von Flade.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll try to answer at least as presented to the committee a couple of those questions. One is, though, I want everybody to understand that if you go to page 3 and it tells you what POWER stands for, which is Personal Opportunities with Employment Responsibilities. This is not a program you can stay home. You have to have a job. So the stay at home, adding children to your dependents and increasing funding is not what this is about. It's actually an employment program that gives you assistance so you can go to work. The reason they took out the two cars or the car value, market value, was we are no longer a single car one family, one car country anymore. So instantly, if they wanted the second car or a reliable car, it took them out of the program. And to have a family, grandparents especially, taking care of their grandchildren and then saying this, they're borderline making it on there, maybe their retirement, Social Security, and saying, well, you do own a second car, so you can't qualify for this additional help. Suddenly those children are eligible for foster care or something of that nature. So that should answer that. I will tell you, it is all federal funds. You see a fiscal note on the back, and they said that easily can be made, that almost a $500,000 increase in the cost of this program. And as mentioned earlier, there is something like $44 million in a pool, which they, even with this increase, the person from the department thought they would never even get into the pool that has already been built up. So it's a good program. It has an incentive to it. You have a time limit to it. They're just meeting inflation with this, and it is work. You have to have a job.
Is there any further discussion, Senator Meyer?
Madam Chairman, going directly to the language that was deleted, upon increase in the number of persons in assistance in the assistant unit after 10 months following initial qualification for assistance. That language was deleted. So with the deletion of that, I see that there's absolutely every possibility that indeed that assistance can be increased by increasing the number of people qualifying for assistance because that prohibition has been taken out. And as for what the program was meant to be, I recall being on the Good Labor Committee with the tall senator from Casper when this was written.
Any further discussion, Senator Scott?
Madam Chairman, I have a couple of further questions. One, what was the testimony in committee with regard to these TANF funds? Madam Chairman, I'm prepared to believe that there's no chance we'll go beyond the TANF funds, but there are certain TANF funds we are using for other purposes, and some of those purposes are quite important and are built into the way we do business and would be a problem if we got into those. Is this any chance this is going to affect those, or is this TANF money that is in some way restricted enough by the federal government so that we're not going to? So that's first question. Second question, and I would hope maybe if there were some economists in the body that they would comment on this. We're using the Wyoming Cost of Living Index as an escalator. And was there any testimony in the committee or does anybody know, how does the Wyoming Cost of Living Index compare with the National Cost of Living Index? And does the Wyoming Cost of Living Index tend to go faster than inflation or slower than inflation? Are there some problems with it? How meaningful is it? And I can recall we've had some extensive discussions on the Wyoming Cost of Living Index, particularly, it seems to me, in regard to the education system. And there were some complaints about it, and I frankly don't remember the ins and outs and the pros and cons of using that particular measure.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let's see if I can get some of these. The testimony we had in committee on the funds and would it affect other programs was no. They said that no way was this going, and that question was asked and answered in committee that there was not going to be a strain on the funds nor a strain to the other programs. As far as the 10 months is concerned, that 75% of this is grandparents, and they have found repeatedly where the grandparents a lot of times take in a child and then need to take in another child, and the 10-month provision just simply eliminates they're able to better bring those other kids in, the grandchildren in, for that 10-month period. And that was what we had as far as the explanation in committee. As far as the cost of living index for Wyoming, how it compares to the federal, if it's a problem, that for the senator from Natrona, I will have to get that tomorrow because that one I'm not completely sure on.
Is there any further question? Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Von Flederen's motion that House Bill 59 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 59 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next House bill for our consideration is House Bill 16. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 16, Special District Election, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, and Act relating to special districts. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election and Political Subdivision. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DeCarrier, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Bebout, I couldn't see you there.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my honor to introduce to you with the Fremont County Farm Bureau some FBA, FHA children, students that are back here, and I'd like to, FHA, FFA, one of my favorite groups. From Lander, we have Riley Crafson and Cade Brewster. From Riverton, Colton George and Chance Woolery. From Wind River, Tim Mall and Sam Middlestat. From Shoshone, Dusty Britton. from Thermopolis, Selena Stewart, and Heather Love, from Cody, Caitlin Keltner, and from Powell, Sean Elquist. Let's welcome to the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Bebout, and welcome to the Senate. You've heard the reading of the bill, House Bill 16, Senator Case.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I'd move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 16, Special Districts Elections. And the floor manager of this bill just left and went outside. So,
there is a standing committee amendment.
Let's read the standing committee amendment in, and I'll do them both.
Reading clerk will please read in the standing committee amendment.
House Bill 16, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 5.
You've heard the reading of the Standing Committee Amendment, Senator Case.
It'd be nice if I had that in my hand, Madam Chairman, and I do. Good thing people take care of me over here. Madam Chairman, this bill deals with the issue of special district elections. When a special district expands, and there is no one in the area for the most part. If you'll go through and look, there's an enlargement petition starting on page 1, line 13. It says, when any voters or landowners of an area wish to join a district, they may file an enlargement petition with the county commissioners. Then the language is being struck that says, if there are no voters within an area proposed to be included in a district, the landowners of the area may file an enlargement petition with the county commissioners. That's being struck. There's a language added on line 19 that says all landowners and all voters within the area and the board of directors of the district agree to the inclusion of the area within the district. And, Madam Chairman, that is where the amendment comes in, at least the line 4 of the amendment. Page 2, line 19, it will say all landowners and after the word voters, if any. Because we are dealing with areas that may not have any voters whatsoever, Madam Chairman. The end result of this whole bill, Madam Chairman, is that it deals with whether you have to file your maps and keep your maps current with the Department of Revenue and have your boundaries. And you'll see the key language is on page 3, Madam Chairman, lines 10 through 15.
Senator Case? Before you get that far, you have to move the Standing Committee Amendment.
Okay, I would like to move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 16, Madam Chairman. I apologize, since I've been talking about it. But the key language is lines 10 through 15. It says, notwithstanding any other provision of law, no special district or governmental entity with authority to levy or require the levy of property taxes shall levy any property taxes unless in compliance with the rules and regulations promulgated pursuant to this subsection. That's pretty much the whole gist of the bill, Madam Chairman. I think I need to point out one more thing about the Standing Committee Amendment. If you look on page 2, line 5, there's a shall in that line. It says, unless otherwise provided under this subsection, the petition for enlargement shall include provisions allowing the Board of District Directors to be enlarged by one or more positions to be filled. This has changed to May, Madam Chairman, and the reason it's changed to May is this is going to be a voluntary enlargement. If there were any voters, they wouldn't be able to do it. So there's really not always a need to enlarge the number of the board. And if there's not an agreement to enlarge the board, they'll never be able to have the enlargement. So May seems a much more suitable there. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I think there's probably somebody else who could answer questions, too. Madam Chairman.
Sorry. Is there any further discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're back on the bill. Is there any further discussion? Question. Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Case's motion that House Bill 16 pass the Committee of the Whole, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 16 passes the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 64, State Auditor Employee Criminal Background Checks, sponsored by Representative Philp. an act relating to the state auditor. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Fecht, Larson, and Vasey. Senator Larson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Larson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 64. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill very simply puts the state auditor's office, who is doing all the financial things and everything else, in line with what everybody else has to do. Bankers, you were there, the mortgage brokers, all of that, to be able to be certain that they do not employ people who have some kind of a criminal background. And, Mr. Chairman, that's all the bill does. It makes that a conformity to require them to do the criminal background checks, and I would urge your favorable consideration.
You've heard the explanation of the bill. Is there any further questions? Senator Massey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And the sponsor is right. This is a pretty simple bill. We get two or three of those every session, and it seems like we're just adding more people to the list of folks that were conducting background checks, but even more important, fingerprinting. And it does sometimes raise questions about privacy. If it's a compelling need, then I think that it certainly should be the case. I'm not so sure how compelling this is. I guess the question I would have is there's lots of folks who are imprisoned because of embezzlement. Are they there because it was the second, third, or fourth time, and they did it one time and got out, and nobody knew about it, and therefore they recommitted the crime, or most embezzlement or other problems associated with financial records, something that occurs just once, and most of the people who commit it are folks who hadn't committed other crimes.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. There's absolutely no doubt that we're expanding the criminal background checks year by year. I think this is the third one I've seen this year. However, the reason for that is obvious with the advent of the computer and all the ability to do fraud by that means. I believe it's more and more important that people that are handling large transactions, be it for mortgage brokers, like I say, for bankers, for departments of state government, who are handling large amounts of funds, who may or may not, but in a lot of cases do, have the ability to commit fraud via the Internet, that it's more and more important that we make sure that there have not been previous crimes committed by these people, and even unsavory, if you would, marginal types of behavior. Is it an erosion of our personal rights? Probably. But I think you're going to see more of it as we go on. I know in the financial industry, it's become more and more prevalent because of laws of the federal government. Some of it, quite frankly, related to 9/11 causes. And so, yes, I agree, it's becoming more prevalent, but I'm afraid in the day and age we're living in and the requirements of the federal government that it's something that we should be taking note of.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Larson's question that House Bill 64 do pass the Committee of the Whole, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 64 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 66. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 66, Revolving Loan Fund Account, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to intergovernmental corporations. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Fecht, Larson, and Vasey. Senator Larson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Larson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, they do so with the due pass recommendation on House Bill 66 and that further reading of the bill be dispensed with. And to explain this good little bill, I'll call on Senator Cooper.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Bill 66, Madam Chairman, is an interim joint minerals committee bill that was requested by the State Lands and Investment Office. The key amendment in this bill can be found on page 4 and lines 10 through 17, and this would provide the State Land and Investment Board the authority to impose an administrative fee, or maybe application fee, you would call it, on the new clean water revolving loans. The fee would not, according to our amendment, could not exceed 1% of the loan amount, and this fee could be paid either up front before the, as when the loan was approved, or it could be paid from the loan proceeds themselves. The fees collected then would be deposited in an administrative account as described on page 2 in lines 3 through 11, and also on page 3, lines 4 through 10. And these two amendments were actually crafted from conforming language that's found currently in Article 3 under the Drinking Water State Revolving Loan, that's hard to say, State Drinking Water Revolving Fund Program, but was not somehow included in the Clean Water Drinking Statutes. Deposits to the account could not exceed $500,000 in any biennium, and if it went over that amount, it would be capped at $500,000. But any additional funds would go back to the revolving loan account to be used as loans. As long as the state is receiving the federal grant capitalization funds, they are authorized to take up to 4% out of these funds from the federal government to administer these accounts. However, the federal funding for the Clean Water Fund has decreased since 2002 and is scheduled actually to end in 2011, along with the drinking water funds, which will end in 2018. The final note, if you were wondering a little bit about this, there's a note on the back, I'm sorry, the fiscal note, not the final note, on the back that kind of explains this procedure. But if you'll see, I sent around a little graph that looks like this. Yeah, right side up. It looks kind of like that. Anyway, on it, if you look at that, you'll see that the current amount of funds in that account is $2.5 million. And this is the money that they've been taking out the 4% with. And as you see, this will go down and down and down until finally in 2019 we'll run completely out if we don't start charging this 1% fee. And if you take 2011 and you look on this line, 2011, and you drew a line straight up to that red curve from the blue one, that is where all the federal funds quit end for this program, and there will be not any more funds allowed to be taken out, or there will not be any more federal funds coming after that. And since this is a revolving fund account, this is money that's loaned out to the cities, towns, and counties, and so forth, and other government joint powers boards, and then comes back into the account as they pay it off. It just revolves around and is loaned out again. Okay, administrative account would be used to fund the program's administration after federal funding ceases. If the State Loan Investment Board is unable to collect these administrative fees, the available administrative funds, as you see, will end in 2019. 80% of these federal funds are received. 80% of the funds for this program are received from the federal, as federal grants, and 20% from state matching money. And these funds are also are used for things like leaking underground storage tanks to help communities fund sewage, yes, that too, and water treatment plants, and also landfill remediation. There's about $24 million in the account right now, and the loan interest rate on this account is 2.5%. And the rest of the amendments that are in this bill are either conforming amendments or just definition changes. And, Madam Chairman, with that, I'll answer
questions. You've heard the explanation of the bill. Are there any questions, Senator Schiffer?
Yes. Madam Chairman, recently the federal government put a drag on one of our accounts, 2%. And we were incensed. I mean, that was our money. You understand what this is. This is a drag. They're going to pull 1% off, and but this money goes to our communities for clean water. Now, this isn't AML funds. And what we're doing is we're saying communities, we got a grants program. It's partially federally funded, partially state funded. But by the way, we're going to pull out 1% that our local communities will not get to administer roughly a $25 million account. That's nothing. That's a tiny loan account. And this is an agency whose operating budget is $48,520,000. And they're going to reach down to our local communities and dock them 1% on their clean water projects. Now, folks, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, and maybe we ought to thump on those little towns out there. You know, they certainly probably need a good thumping. But I don't think we ought to thump them in the clean water area. Now, let's thump them somewhere else. Let's go ahead and give them their loans. These are loans for clean water. Let's not be dragging 1% away from them. They're trying to do the right thing. And do we need the money, and does this agency need the money? Not by the furthest stretch of their imagination. They really don't need the money. And we get incensed when the federal government does it to us. And that's okay. We can go and growl and strut. But this is a good program. And to pull 1% out, I think, is inexcusable on our part.
Is there any further
You'll vote this bill down.
Any further discussion, Senator Bebout?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I had the same concerns, those very concerns when we first started working this bill in committee. And I was not satisfied and didn't vote for it. When we had the testimony in committee here just the other day, I asked that same question again. And to the good senator from Johnson County, and maybe I'm wrong, but as I understand it, those administrative fees, the money we get from them, we would get if no money went to the cities and towns. So it's not taking it away from, but it's in addition to. So it's money the feds will help pay for the administration costs of loans already in place. And if it's not that way, then I'm right with you, and we should defeat this. But that was my explanation.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Cooper?
Madam Chairman, to just kind of add a little bit more information to this, this program is costing right now, I checked with them today, approximately $320,000 a year to administer this program. But it's also interesting, Madam Chairman, that we actually, every time we send money to our cities, towns, and counties from revenue, collected for things like the various revenue streams that we have, we actually charge them in many cases 1% or half cent. The state does it to the cities and towns, and that's kind of an interesting little twist on that. But also, the fee actually can be paid. I realize it would be less money, but the fees actually can be paid out of the loan proceeds that they receive. So they're not actually being asked. They can pay it up front if they want, like I mentioned, but also the fees can be paid from those proceeds themselves, which would be a lot of the money, 80% of money is federal money, like was mentioned.
Is there any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? You guys are supposed to say that. You've heard the motion, Senator Larson's motion, that House Bill 66 do pass Committee of the Whole. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House.
No.
Ooh. Division. House Bill 66 is passed Committee of the Whole.
Division.
All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Having failed a standing committee vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will take the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Fecht?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas excused. Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Hastert, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Closing. Basie, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 7 ayes, 22 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 66, having failed to roll call vote pursuant to Senate Rule 11-5, Section A, is deemed indefinitely postponed. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 71. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 71, Emergency Fire Suppression Account, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, and Act Relating to Public Lands and Fire Suppression. It was referred to Committee Number 2. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend. Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Meyer?
Madam Chairman, I would move that the committee of the whole rise and report to do so if I do pass motion on House Bill 71, Emergency Fire Suppression Account. Folks, what this bill does is take out a cap. We could go in on page 1 and delete subsection D, and page 2, we repeal it. If you look at the fiscal note on the bill, it says currently the state forester cannot assess counties for emergency fire suppression when the balance in emergency fire suppression exceeds $5 million. Actually, if you look at the paperwork that we've sent out to you here, the very back page, you'll see the estimated balance on 12/31/07 is a little over $6 million. Hit the cap. We're asking you to take that cap off. The reason we're asking you to take that cap off, ladies and gentlemen, is that fires are getting extremely expensive to fight. If you look at some of the costs on what we've had on some of these fires, they're in the millions of dollars of range. In fact, you can spend over $1 million a day just with a couple, three airplanes out there flying around and fighting a fire. They have spent over $1 million a day in Wyoming. And these are on state fires, some of the, and even a federal fire. And I guess the federal people, they really know how to spend the money on a fire. It's very, not very much cost accounting. But we've been assured that our state forestry people, they really watch what they're spending this money on if it's a state fire, and they've got some controls on that. Simply put is that the cost of the fires has gone up so much. The $280,000 is about what the counties will put in every year. When it gets up to $5 million, that $5 million cap just isn't going to work. There's some other information here that's kind of interesting for you to look through. If you ever wanted to know what the federal, state, land, and private ownership, there's a nice little color-coded map here. That'll tell you what every county is. That's kind of an interesting side note. The reason that's kind of important is really there are some non-participating counties. And for the most part, the non-participating counties don't have that much federal and state lands. There's a few exceptions. If I recall my time on the Ag Committee, there is a way that the non-participating counties can get in. I think they have to buy in 5 years or something like that. Then they can be part of the program. So there is a provision for that if they want to become part of the program. And with that explanation, I would stand for questions and ask for your favorable consideration.
You've heard the explanation of the bill. Are there any questions? Seeing none, are you in favor? All those in favor, ask. Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises, report it, do so with a due pass recommendation, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 71 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 14. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 14, Nursery Stock, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. An act relating to nursery stock. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Geis, Johnson, Perkins, and Vasey. Senator Geis, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Geis?
When the Committee of the Whole rises and report, I move that House Bill 14 do pass, and I'll yield the floor to Senator Johnson to explain the bill.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On page 1, lines 11 through 16 is the whole part of this bill. Now, let me read you this and see if you read it like I do. Any nursery stock shall be substantially free or apparently free from any injurious insects, plant diseases, other pests, or prohibited, restricted, regulated, or designated weeds, and shall not be sold, offered for sale, or distributed. That's defined as an oops bill. And it's essentially saying that all nursery stock shall not be sold, offered for sale, or distributed. It's pretty plain. So what this bill does says all nursery stock to be sold, offered for sale, or distributed shall be substantially free, et cetera, period. I would ask your affirmative vote. Thank you.
You've heard the explanation of the bill. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Geis's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 14, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 14 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill Number 25, School Building Plan Review Exception, sponsored by the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to fire prevention and electrical safety. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Coe, Jennings, Massey, Von Flatern, Senator Coe, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
When Committee of the Whole rise and report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 25 and defer to Senator Jennings for an explanation of the House bill.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This bill is brought to us by the Select Committee on School Facilities, and it's very simple. It gives the State Fire Marshal the ability to contract with appropriate personnel for anything that they have to do on the schools. It also takes out that there shall be no plan review fees charged by the fire marshal. And then on page 2, down on line 19, by striking not, it makes school buildings, buildings or state buildings. It does not take away the ability for city and county fire inspectors to go in and inspect. All it really does is say that the fire marshal on the state level is not responsible for the plan review. If they want him to do it, then he can contract people out to do it. And if they want any kind of inspection for the schools, then because it's a state building, there's no charge. It's that easy. I hope you'd vote yes.
You've heard the explanation of the bill. Are there any questions, Senator Sessions? Senator Sessions?
Madam Chairperson. The question I have to ask is, I know in lower eastern Laramie County, we had a building that was built and finished, and there was, I don't know, 3-6 months delay in moving into that building because there were deficiencies found in it, some very serious problems, because no one had been inspecting, looking at whatever. Mostly the inspection, the health and safety inspections had not been done. Tell me how this fits in with prohibiting something like that to happen.
Senator Jennings?
Madam Chairman, this bill doesn't have anything to do with health inspections. And as far as the plan review, that is sent back out, I believe, by the School Facilities Commission, and there has to be a plan review to cover all the safety aspects on the fire and electrical and all that kind of stuff. All this bill does, I do not think it addresses the good senator from Cheyenne, Madam Chairman's question, but what it does do is it gives the fire marshal the ability that if he is going to be called in to do the plan review, that he can contract and charge for it, and that if he does go out and inspect the buildings, that he has to do it like a state building and not charge the schools for it. As far as, like I say, Madam Chairman, I do not believe that this bill has anything to do with health inspections.
Senator Case?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to know for sure that the plan review is being done. If anybody else builds a public building in a municipality, the local building inspector is going to require that there be a plan review. Sometimes that's farmed out. Sometimes they do it in-house. I think sometimes the state fire marshal helps with that. But it's a very, it's actually a good thing to have another set of architects, another set of people look at a building plan and, you find out all sorts of things about it. And I just want some assurance that it's being done. I'm not sure. To me, it's like if the State Facilities Commission is doing their own plan review, it's like me as a customer who hires an architect to design me a building, I do the plan review on that building and say it's okay. I mean, sometimes there's a good reason to have a third party look at these plans, and I'd just like some assurance about that.
Senator Jennings?
Madam Chairman, I think that's a great question from the Lander Senator. It's not that the Facilities Commission is doing it. They're overseeing having it done. So as you go into the process, they can use the fire marshal. There's nothing in the bill that says it can't. The only thing that it says in the bill that if they use the fire marshal and the fire marshal does not have the personnel, expertise, or time to do it, that they can pass the charge through to the School Facilities Commission rather than doing it for free like they would do on a state building. So all that does is just take the charge piece out. They can still use them, but there will be a charge. The only thing there won't be a charge for is the inspection as they go out on site.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Scott?
Madam Chairman, I'm confused. Who does the inspections now to make sure that we're conforming to the various fire codes and building them in ways that conform? And who will do it if the bill passes?
Senator Meyer?
The way it is now is that the fire marshal will do it except if you have home rule in a county or municipality.
Is there any further discussions? Senator Massey?
Okay, Madam Chairman, it is getting a little confusing here, so let me convey what we heard in committee. Because of the present wording down on line 19, page 2, which says that for the purposes of this section, school buildings shall not be construed to be state buildings, that means the local municipal folks will inspect the plans. The problem that they're experiencing is that in some of these small towns, especially with some fairly large buildings, they're getting backed up, and therefore it's creating some delays in the inspection. So this bill provides an option for them to go to the state fire marshal and say, would you help us out? The state fire marshal then would have the ability to step in those situations in order to facilitate review of the plans and get the building built to be able to do that. In order to allow the state marshal to be an option now, the bill has to eliminate the word not on line 19 because they only have the authority to look at buildings that are state buildings. And also further up on page 2, it just simply says that they can collect the fee for the inspection of the plans as opposed to the local government.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises reported, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 25, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 25 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 31. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 31, Medical Safety Event Reporting, sponsored by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health and safety. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Ullman, Fecht, Hastert, Landon, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Madam Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 31 do pass. There is no standing committee amendment, and I will seek to explain the bill. Madam Chairman, what the bill does is it removes from our existing statute the list of things that are going to be reported, the errors and injuries and that sort of thing, and requires those to be identified by rule and regulation of the department, meaning the health department, using a standard taxonomy generally accepted, etc. The problem that we have encountered is that when we passed the original legislation, which I believe was the 2005 session, the list of what was reported was up to date and proper and was good list. This is an evolving field, the whole business of medical safety event reporting, and nobody's quite got it right yet. And the national organizations are changing their recommendations as to what's to be reported and the terminology that describes these events. That's what they're talking about, taxonomy. That's what they're talking about. And it is useful to have these things reported in Wyoming the same way it's done in other states. So rather than come in every 2 years and change our law because the national standards are evolving in this area, what we're recommending to you, and it was brought to us by the Healthcare Commission, is that we let the department do that by rule and regulation, and that they use a standard taxonomy that's being used elsewhere. There's a couple of options. They intend to follow the one that's most commonly done. Minnesota, the testimony in committee was that Minnesota, which was the state in which we modeled our original legislation, has done something very similar here. So with that, Madam Chairman, this bill is relatively simple, relatively straightforward. There is a general problem in this whole safety event reporting with underreporting that our state and every other state that's trying this has got it. That's a much more fundamental problem and more difficult to deal with. This just makes the reporting that we do get up to date. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You've heard the explanation of the bill. Are there any further questions? Seeing none, all those in... Oops. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with favorable recommendation on House Bill 31, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 31 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 45. Would the reading clerk please read the House bill?
House Bill 45, Film Incentive Program Authority, sponsored by Representative Berger, an act relating to film incentives. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Fecht, Larson, and Vasey. Senator Larson, Chairman.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 45, and that further reading of the bill be dispensed with. And to explain this very complicated bill, I'd like to call on Senator Bebout.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill deals with the administration of the Film Incentive Program, and presently that administration is within the Wyoming Business Council. This bill moves it to the Tourism Board. You may recall that this body set up the Tourism Board last session. It also set up the Film Incentive Program. If you go through the bill, you can see the changes made throughout it that What it does is just removes it from the business council and puts it in under the Wyoming Tourism Board. The testimony we heard in committee, because of the nature of the Wyoming Tourism Board and what they do relative to promoting our state, this just fits better within their mission and their what they're trying to accomplish. It made sense to us, and I would answer any questions.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question on the bill? All those in favor of Senator Larson's motion that when Committee of the Whole rises, report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 45, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 45 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next, oops, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chair, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Mr. President.
You're not rolling along like you used to do when you were younger.
Yeah. Well, I'm done now. I'll never be doing that again.
Thank you, Jane. Would the reading clerk please read the Committee of the Whole report?
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 5, do pass. House Bill 7, do pass. House Bill 21, do pass amended. House Bill 59, do pass. House Bill 16, do pass amended. House Bill 64, do pass. House Bill 66 failed to pass Committee of the Whole and was indefinitely postponed. House Bill 71 do pass. House Bill 14 do pass. House Bill 25 do pass. House Bill 31 do pass. And House Bill 45 do pass. Senator Mockler, Chairman.
Senator Mockler.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
The motion is to adopt the Committee of the Whole report. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The report has been adopted. There's nothing. Senator Cole.
Mr. President, House Bill 17 was read in, does have an appropriations in it. I'd like to have that re-referred to Committee Number 2, House Bill 17 engrossed.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 17 engrossed is referred to Committee Number 2. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears this desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate adjourn until 10 a.m. on Tuesday, February 26.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, first I want to remind you of the Livestock Board meeting over here in the Hersler Building with Dr. Van Wee from England, and he's going to talk about the foot and mouth disease. And I think it's very important, if any of you are not in committees, to attend this. It's going to start at 5 o'clock, and he's going to walk through all the bad things that happen in England, and hoping that if we'll pay attention, we won't have the same thing happen here in the United States. It isn't case if we're going to have foot and mouth, it's when we're going to have it again. And, of course, some of us have that disease right now, but it's not contagious. With that, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet Tuesday night upon adjournment in S-15. We're going to take up House Bill 74, engrossed, Veterinary Loan Repayment Program. House Bill 85, engrossed, Brucellosis Testing Program, and House Bill 88, the Omnibus Water Bill Planning.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 26th, at 20 minutes following the lunch recess in S-16. For consideration of the following bills, given time, we'll consider all three. House Bill 54, Natural Gas Valuation. House Bill 91, Streamlined Sales and Use Tax. House Bill 33, Engrossed, Veterans Property Tax Exemption.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet in 10 minutes in S-14 to do House Bill 22, Failure to Observe Road Closure, and House Bill 78, County Road Fund.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. up in S-14, where we will discuss House Bill 122, Game Wardens, Enforcement of Littering Provisions, House Bill 46, Engrossed, Abuse of Animals, and House Bill 76, Engrossed, Criminal Street Gangs.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 2 will meet Tuesday with the Light Committee from the House to discuss House Bill 1 and Senate File 1 in 204 at 8 a.m. And also at 9 o'clock Tuesday in S-13 to discuss House Bill 6, State Veterans Museum, House Bill 67, Intertribal Education and Community Center, and House Bill 90, Carbon Capture and Sequestration.
Further announcements, senators, don't forget, if you did not have a successful day voting on the Senate floor today, go over to the Arts Council and vote for the Wyoming Easter egg. I guarantee it will be successful. Further announcements. The motion is that the Senate be adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Senate is adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.